This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Before we continue on to this next segment, a bit of a warning. The segment deals with highly adult content and may not be appropriate for our younger listeners. So I'll give you a second to decide how you'd like to proceed. So now it's time for our regular Love Letters feature, where we grapple with matters of the head and heart with Boston Globe's Love Letters columnist Meredith Goldstein. Welcome back, Meredith.
I like that intro. I feel very exciting now.
So excited, maybe, but this week's letter's a tough one.
It's very difficult.
It has to do with pornography. So can you give us a little excerpt and tell us what the problem is here?
Basically, a woman wrote in, and I'll read a little excerpt from her letter. She said, "The other night was an unsettling experience, to say the least. I was at my boyfriend's place for the night. I woke up at about 3 a.m. and he was not in bed. I could see that the light was on in his office, so I got up and walked down the hall. As I approached his office, I could see him seated at his desk, enjoying an adult video on his computer. I'm not a prude," she says. "I know that this happens, but what was unsettling was that he was viewing extremely aggressive material that was degrading to women, both verbally and physically. And what was worse, he was muttering to himself as if he were a part of the scene." Mm. You know, this woman continues to write that this is someone who is incredibly gentle with her in real life, both physically and emotionally. And, you know, she basically said, is it okay to be dating someone who turns out to have a secret fantasy life that might be very different from his normal persona?
And what did you tell her?
Well, one question I had, which, of course, I didn't get answered, you know, this is sort of a one-way conversation with these letter writers, is, you know, was this an act of violence against women on this video that he was watching? Was this a consensual scene that he was watching or not? I couldn't get that answered. But what I did say was, you know, I actually happened to do a lot of research about feminism, pornography, the First Amendment, and I've always sort of erred on a more liberal side of, you know, we all have secret fantasy lives and that's okay. What bothered me about this letter in particular is that it was so private, so secret, and that you know, he was so different in his daily life with her. So
I mean, she explicitly says that he was muttering to himself as if he were participating.
Right. You know, which is, you know, it's the secrecy about it. And I did advise that she talk to him about it because I think that many people do and think about very interesting things that they might not reveal in their daily lives. But, you know, are they closeting a whole part of themselves that their partner doesn't know? You know, is it violent? These are things I didn't get to ask the letter writer. But so, you know, to me, the fact that he was looking at something that some might view as objectionable was not of a concern. It was this violent, and why is he being so secret about his fantasies after dating for so long?
But overall, talk about it with him and go with your gut was kind of what you told
her. Yeah, go with your gut is big in the situation. Yeah. If she feels scared, if she feels uncomfortable, she's got to run. But if she just has questions, ask them.
Okay, listeners, so we want to know what you think. Do you think that this letter writer should be worried? And have you ever made a similar discovery of your partner watching sexually explicit material that made you very uncomfortable? And, you know, what about adult material, pornography in general? If one partner doesn't like it, should the other have to give it up? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston. Well, Meredith, as we usually do, I'm going to bring in a couple more voices into this conversation. Joining us now is Dr. David Snarsh. He is a licensed clinical psychologist and certified sex therapist. He's also the author of Intimacy and Desire and Passionate Marriage. Dr. Snarsh, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Meghna.
Also with us today is Jamie Waxman. She is a sex educator who has co-written, directed, and produced productions with erotic film director Candida Royale, and she now creates instructional sex videos with real couples for real couples. Jamie Waxman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
I should say that you're joining us today from the studios of NPR West in California. So, Dr. Snarsh, let me start with you. Do you think that this person, in this case, she happens to be a woman in her 30s, should be concerned about the possibly violent, at least aggressive pornography that her boyfriend has been watching?
I do. As a preface, I should say that I also tend to lean towards liberal, and I think the porn addiction scare is an overrated, socially constructed phenomena. Having said that, the question at the moment is not about porn usage, it's about mate selection. And videos depicting very aggressive, degrading sex towards women, I think, is a cause for concern. People who like this genre of porn are a select population. They like this, and they tend to like little else. And he's not likely to stop watching these videos because he apparently has a sexual arousal pattern based on aggression towards women. This particular woman seems not to be afraid of a little sexual aggression because she wishes he was more aggressive with her in bed, which gives her report about the extremeness of the porn more credence. And he's not just watching these films. As you were discussing, the mumbling says he's deeply engrossed, and he's also participating and rooting for these things to happen to the woman.
But on the other hand, of Jamie Waxman, I mean, you know, some people go to the film movies and they watch, you know, violent movies of stuff getting blown up, and they cheer in the movie theater, but that doesn't mean they're going to go out and blow stuff up.
That's the other side of this coin. And while I agree with what Dr. Snorsch is saying, I do think sometimes pornography is used completely as fantasy. And we don't look at romance comedies or action movies and think, I need to be that. I am this person. We take ourselves out of the scenario and we go into fantasy land. And I think that there is a chance with this. The thing that scares me the most, like Meredith said, is he did this late at night and he got out of bed to do it. But we don't know if he just has, you know, is he embarrassed by his fantasy life, and is this something he doesn't know how to talk about with his partner? But it's not necessarily defining who he is.
One question I had, you know, obviously there are a lot of questions that we have. I'm sure there are questions that the letter writer had. But, you know, I told her, go ask your partner about his taste. Go tell him what you saw. Find out what he likes and what he's watching and why. To what extent do partners have to tell their mates about their fantasy lives? Is it any of their business? Are we allowed to have lives that are completely private in our heads that we don't share with our partners?
Dr. Snorsch, your thought about that?
Sure. Well, most couples masturbate, and they also hide their masturbation from each other. So that's basically what we're talking about here. Most couples are secretive about their masturbation, and they're particularly secretive about what they think about and what they masturbate about while they're doing it. So the fact that he's being secretive per se, that's not of a concern to me. What is a concern to me is that I don't think he's going to be blowing up buildings, and I don't think he's going to want to be acting these things out with her. I think what's more likely is he's going to be passive-aggressive with her throughout the relationship, and I also wouldn't be surprised if his sexual interest in her dwindled once they become a committed couple.
You know, but
I'd be more concerned about that.
I have to wonder, though, you know, there are also romantic comedies that degrade women in their own way and make them seem incredibly passive or silly. You know, where do we draw the line in terms of what media we consume, you know, that we enjoy watching, whether it's for pornography or other reasons? You know, it's very difficult to decide whether or not a partner is misogynist based on what media they
Well, and in fact, if I understand, studies show that there really isn't a very strong correlation at all, or any correlation at all, between the people who consume or watch pornography and relative amounts of misogyny. I mean, Jamie Waxman, your thought about that?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And it's the same thing I find in my education around the country, that a lot of people watch pornography that they are absolutely not like. A straight couple will watch gay male porn, or a young couple will watch an older couple having intercourse, because they want to get out of the lives that they know. And so I just feel like it's really hard to jump to any conclusion based on one man's one night viewing and say that this person must be a misogynist or must be, you know, must really want to be violent towards women. And we have to also remember, we place such a heavy emphasis on pornography as sex education, when we don't place that emphasis on Hollywood in the filmmaking business. And a lot of people, and again, it would depend where this porn was made, but a lot of people making pornography are doing it the same way people are making movies, for fantasy, for a chance to escape. And we place a lot of emphasis on what one person watches as the way that they look at their sex lives.
We've got a lot of callers who want to join us. We are talking with Love Letters columnist Meredith Goldstein about pornography and adult content, and when it's maybe inappropriate or raises some alarm bells in a relationship. Again, this is a conversation that's got obviously a lot of adult content and may not be appropriate for our younger listeners. But for those of us who are with us, we're at 1-800-423-8255. Let's take a couple calls here. Emma's calling from South Boston. You're on the air, Emma.
Hi.
What's your thought today?
I'm 19 years old. I'm a college freshman, just finished my first year. And as a woman, as a feminist, I've always had a lot of concern trying to balance the idea of being accepting of people's differences and people's different tastes, and where to draw the line is when something's wrong, when something is inappropriate and should be maybe not as accepted as we want it to be, because in our culture there's a lot of stress on accepting people's differences and making everyone feel comfortable and never unwanted or unaccepted.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this question of where do we stop? Where is it too much when someone is degraded or being acts of violence being acted out against them? Is that somewhere where we stop? And I personally think that there are some places where sexual taste is wrong. It's not wrong to have it, but wrong to indulge thinking of people in a violent way.
Emma, I'm going to stop you there because I thank you very much for your thought, and I want our guests to respond to it. But I'm also want to get an opinion from the other side of the coin, maybe, and that is from caller Jack from Chelmsford. Well, you're on the air, Jack.
Hi. I think is it okay to think about? If you're alone in your bedroom, is it okay to think about something that's physically aggressive against a woman and fantasize about that? Well, if it is okay, and if this movie is consensual with all the actors involved, then what's the difference? To me, this fantasy world is a great outlet for men who have a tough time with monogamy to begin with. It's a challenge for men to actually stay in monogamous relationships, and this is a pressure release valve for a lot of men.
Jack, thank you so much for your call. Dr. David Snarsh, I mean, this is why this topic was so compelling to us, because, first of all, the fact is that, more than two-thirds of young men between the ages of 18 and 34, at least, look at pornography online at least once a month. It is ubiquitous in our culture. Mm-hmm. But as, that's sort of Jack's take there. But as Emma was pointing out, how is it, because it's so ubiquitous, that we find that balance between what in our relationships we choose to accept and not accept?
Well, most people don't realize that sexual boredom is built into emotionally committed relationships.
Really? I would challenge that. Why does that have to be the case?
I'm in agreement.
You agree that sexual boredom is built into monogamy?
There's an article on the front page that's one of the top five most read articles, which I wrote, which is a scientific explanation why sexual boredom is built into emotionally committed relationships. And most couples masturbate, and they use some kind of erotica to stimulate themselves while they're doing that. But most couples really have terrible sex. We've done a study of
20,000 I don't know that I would have gone that far.
Yeah, we've done a study of 20,000 people, and particularly in America, people tend to have pretty lousy sex. Now, the only way that you can cure sexual boredom is you have to step outside your comfort zone and you have to do something new. But there are lots of partners who say, I'm not doing that, and you're not watching porn. And so they try to pathologize and polarize watching porn, and then they drag their mate into my office and they want me to treat them for porn addiction. And this whole issue about what's going on, I don't think it's so much an issue about gender politics as it is about relational politics. And couples very often do not want to deal with the terrible sex that they're having. So when their partner turns to porn, they want to talk about it as a porn problem as opposed to a relationship problem.
Let's hear from Jamie Waxman on this.
Yeah, I wanted to add with what Dr. Snarsh said about relational politics, it really does come back down to communication, which was what Meredith said in the article. If you think about it, even the statistics that say 50% of the population are cheating, or you look at AshleyMadison.com or something, and you see that the popularity of going outside of a relationship is really high. But it comes down to communication and how you approach any situation. Even in this situation, if the partner, if the girlfriend goes into the room and says, why are you watching such horribly violent porn, you're going to get a certain type of response. You fed that to him. If you go into the conversation and say, tell me what it is about this that turns you on, you will get maybe a different response. And this is with everything. We have to break out of our shell around communicating about whatever it is we don't like. What if it's our partner's golf habit or our partner's gaming habit? There are so many things outside of just porn that we really need to negotiate through communication.
I would say that we had, I think, around 1,000 responses from readers for this letter in our comments section.
You did.
And most people you know, there were a lot of hot and cold answers about this. It's okay. It's not okay. I think, you know, 99% of the commenters wanted to know whether or not this was an act of violence in this video, which is, of course, the big question of the hour. But most of them said, talk about it. You know, I believe, and I've said this in a couple letters to people, you know, I very much agree with your theory about movies. If I were attracted to 17-year-old vampires in real life, I would not be allowed to give love advice. You know, not to make light of this question, but, you know, the things that we see on video is you know, this doesn't reflect how we are in person, but most people agreed with that, and they really just said, talk about it, because, you know, we have so many questions, we need to get them answered.
Well, we need to have more of those questions answered, and we continue the conversation. Listeners, please do so at radioboston.org. That's where you can give us your comments on everything you've heard today on our Love Letters segment. Meredith Goldstein, Globe's Love Letter columnist, always great to have
yes,
you. Looking
for,
forward to next month's letter.
Thanks for discussing letter. This, yes.
And Dr. David Snarsh, licensed clinical psychologist and certified sex therapist, author of Intimacy and Desire. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Jamie Waxman, sex educator and director of adult productions and with erotic film director Candida Royale. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Next week on Radio Boston, when too many internships are a bad thing. Also, we'll take a look at a controversial approach to end-of-life care, psychedelic therapy.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again next week for more Radio Boston, and have a great weekend.